Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Today's message, as I already mentioned, is Where is He? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We got to stop. We're going to go take it line by line, just like we did with Luke. First of all, we see that Jesus, in the Greek, it's having been born. So it's not the same night. You know, we compress it for the holiday, and we make it all happen the same night. But it's here, Jesus having been born. That's past. He was born. There's another clue in here, but we know it's not the same night. It's sometime later. And it says, Jesus having been born in Bethlehem, and just like Luke, Matthew locates it in Bethlehem. There were several Bethlehems in Israel. That's why it's always Bethlehem of Judea. There's a Bethlehem in Galilee, but this is Bethlehem of Judea. Luke writes Bethlehem Ephrathah to identify this is the Bethlehem, not the others. This is the one. In the days of Herod the king, Matthew locates it in history. It was before Herod died. Herod died in about 4 BC. So he's telling us this birth took place before Herod died. So we have it located now in geography, located in history, and located in time, the time frame of the birth. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Let's talk about the wise men a little bit. Wise men, the word is magi or magoi in Greek. It means, unfortunately, not kings. Sorry, it doesn't mean kings. We don't have their names. There was no Melchior. There was no whoever they call them. Belteshazzar. No, they had no names in the Bible, okay? So we don't know what their names were. We don't even know if there were three of them. We don't know how many. It doesn't say how many. There were three gifts. We know that, but it doesn't mean they're three kings or three wise men or three magoi. The word magi means sorcerer, magician, astrologer, diviner of omens. Sorry, that's who they were. Let's keep it real. It's real life, so we don't want to make believe. However, before you get totally down on them, Daniel and Joseph, not Joseph the father, the stepfather, but Joseph back in Egypt, they were also among this group, not these this group, but they were listed as the same. They were people in which were recognized they could tell dreams. They could, in their thinking, the thinking of the people, that they were magicians or sorcerers. So Joseph and Daniel would be listed as magi at the time. So what we're looking at are people who had an insight some way. Now, Daniel and Joseph had the insight by the Spirit of God. These others were not sure how. But listen, Alexander the Great, before he did anything, he would consult omens. I mean, the man was just relentless. He would do sacrifice to various gods and check the omens before he invaded any place, before he went into battle. He did it several times every day. So in the ancient world, they depended on people like this. It says from the east. Literally, that is Anatello. Anatello, from the rising of the sun. Doesn't tell us a country. I personally believe they could have been from the area of Persia, Mesopotamia. That would have been northeast. But they could very well have been from southeast. Saudi Arabia, Yemen. The reason, the clue, is the gifts they brought. There was gold in the south. There, that's where they grew the frankincense and the myrrh. So it could have been from the south, southeast. but it could have been from the Northeast because they were wealthy and they controlled caravan trades and the caravans went up that way, so they could have just have easily gotten all of those products. So it could have been one or the other. I'm not going to say which one it definitely was, but could have been, it was east. Let's just say that. But we do know that they were wealthy. They may not have been kings, but we know they're wealthy because they took time off. I don't think they had accumulated that much vacation pay. They took time off to make this trip. Took time off from what? From whatever they were doing. And they were able to do it. I mean, this trip was probably about 1,000 miles in the ancient world. Now, let's just contrast it right now. Valley Forge, it's about 20 minutes from Philadelphia in today, and that's without traffic. With traffic, it's going to be longer. In George Washington's time, it's probably a day's journey because they had to have pickets to warn them if one side or the other was coming. So they would be about a day and a half journey apart as they would set up their camps. So this was about 1,000 miles. This is longer than a day's journey. Even today, if you drive, how long is it going to take you to drive 1,000 miles? I know how long it would take me, about 8 hours to drive 1,000 miles. But how long would it take you? How long would it take normal people to drive 1,000 miles? it takes some time. And they're going by camel, maybe. Horse, maybe. You know, of course, we picture them as camels. In fact, online today, I think we have camels there, and we have three of them. But it doesn't say camels. They could have traveled by Arabian horse. They could have traveled by camel. I don't think they would have traveled by mule or donkey because that was for a lower classes, and these people were wealthy. They were wealthy because they could take the time off. They were wealthy because they could pay their journey. They stayed at caravansary. They had to pay for fodder for their animals. They must have had an armed guard with the kind of stuff they were carrying. They couldn't just go out with all this wealth. They had to have a small army with them to protect them. They must have had servants to wait on them, cook for them, pitch their tents, take their tents down, pack their pack animals. They wouldn't do that themselves. So they must have had probably, let's say there were 3 to 5 of them, of the wise men, there was probably about 100 others traveling with them. And they had to pay for all of them. So they were wealthy. Then they were committed. It was not around the corner. It's not like today that if the church isn't right around the corner, you don't go. Oh, it doesn't matter whether they're preaching the word or not, you don't go because it's not convenient. How much more convenient can we get than online? That's pretty convenient. It was about 1,000 miles, roughly. So they were committed. They were going to see it through. They were going to go all the way. They weren't stopping halfway. They didn't get halfway there and say, hey, man, this is really desert. This is rocky. This is dry. I don't like this trip. I'm going back home. They went all the way. Why? Because, number three, they had a purpose. They had a purpose. They were not just going to see, well, let's go check out this church. They weren't going to check out this church. They were going to be the church. They're going to be a part of what God was doing. They weren't just experimenting. They were experiencing. They had a purpose. Their purpose was to worship. Their purpose was to worship. They went to give and to worship. Today, the majority of people go to church to get. They went to give and to worship. Can we turn that around in the new year? That we come together to give one to another. We come together to worship the Lord. And yes, we're going to receive. He's going to fill us to overflowing. He is a giver. But we need to be givers, like him, to be givers. The last thing is interesting about them. They were interpretive. They interpreted something they saw. How many of you have been having dreams recently? Anybody been having dreams? How many of you have had the Spirit of God speak to them and guide them? Are you interpreting it correctly? The Lord spoke to me about the revival that we're entering into. He spoke to me several things to do, which I've done half of them so far. We need to interpret correctly what the Spirit of God is saying to us and directing us and guiding us. They were interpretive. How did they know? We'll get into that in a minute. So it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Well, why would they go there? That's not where he's born. Why would they go to Jerusalem? That's not where Messiah is born. Well, the next verse tells us, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Now, the scripture is very specific. It doesn't say they followed his star. They saw his star. They saw his star in the east. What is that all about? Well, I'm going to turn back to Numbers chapter 24 for a moment. Numbers chapter 24, we have an interesting and odd character that I don't pay much attention to most often. His name was Balaam. He was hired to curse Israel by Balak. First of all, I just find it weird that the two have such similar names. Balak hires Balaam. So anyway, Balaam, in verse, he won't do it. He won't curse Israel. But he does prophesy. And in verse, this is Numbers 24, verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall see him, but not now. Very interesting. I love that. I shall behold him, but he's not near. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but he's not close. He's not near. And there shall come a star out of Jacob. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Scepter meaning a leader. Star often refers to kings. Now, you might say, okay, that's pretty interesting. He prophesies that. But here's the best part. About 20 years ago, a Dutch archaeological team discovered an inscription on a wall over in Jordan. And it refers, it's in Deir Allah, Deir Allah in Jordan, from about 1200 BC. It refers to Balaam, son of Peor, the same as the Bible calls him. But it doesn't just refer to him. He's called a seer of gods. And this is how the inscription reads. Warnings from the book of Balaam, of son of Beor, seer of gods. Did you catch something there? He had a book. He was published. He had a book of curses. Do you realize if he had a book of curses, people could read it? It might have been passed around. Now, he's from Peor. Well, Peor is close to Haran. That's my clue that they might have come from the north in Mesopotamia. Haran is where Abraham left to come into the promised land. Remember when he was called. So this inscription found in Jordan refers to a book written by somebody in the north near Haran, who must have been a well-known seer, that if you had a problem and you needed somebody cursed, you'd call him up and get him to curse your people for you and pay him for it. They might say, well, that's pretty weird. It's not weird in the ancient world. We have found shipwrecks from 1,500 years later than that inscription, from the Hellenistic time period. Hellenistic is just before Jesus. Shipwrecks that have inscriptions, curses on them. And what the curses were, somebody hastily wrote the curse before they abandoned ship. They'd been attacked by pirates, and they were cursing the pirate ship that was sinking their ship. So you would hire somebody to curse other people. And so is it possible that the wise men read this book? Read a book written by Balaam 1,000 years before them. Maybe that's why they're called wise. They remembered their history rather than destroy it, like our culture does today. The erasing and rewriting of our historical monuments and figures is atrocious, ridiculous, and downright stupid. Whether you agree with them or not, it happened. It's history. You're not going to change it by erasing it, melting it down, or obliterating it from history books. It's history. Here, these wise men, they saw something. They saw this, I don't know what it was. Some say it might have been a comet. Some say it was a conjunction of planets. I just say it was a supernatural light that God had shining to confirm this prophetic word. And so, when they see that, how do they interpret it? Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? if this prophetic word, because, okay, you see a star and it means king. How do you know it's king of the Jews? Balaam, what he said, the star shall rise out of Jacob. And everybody at that time knew where Jacob, that meant Israel. So they knew this must be the sign of a king born in Israel. And it says a scepter shall rise. In other words, a world leader is going to come up. So they were interpretive. They interpreted what they saw. They came where? The capital city. Because if you're a king that's going to be born, where's the king going to be born? The capital. So they come to the capital city expecting to find a newborn king. So they start asking around. They don't start with Herod. They start asking around. Where's this new king? We understand there's a king born here. Where's the king? Now, by this time, Jesus had already been born in Bethlehem. He was still in Bethlehem. And so they're asking around. So that's verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. All right, we know Herod. You, those of you who go here regularly, you know that when I lived in Israel, the 3 years that I lived there, I worked specifically on King Herod's palaces. I worked at Masada, not the original. The original in Masada was, I was still in high school, I think. I worked at Masada. I worked at Jericho primarily, but I worked at Caesarea Philippi, Caesarea Maritima, Jerusalem. I worked everywhere that Herod built a palace, and he had at least 9 palaces. I mean, unbelievable wealth. And so Herod was troubled. He was in Jerusalem at the time. He was troubled. Why was he troubled? Well, he was troubled because he was a puppet king. He was made king by the Romans. He wasn't made king by the Jews. The Roman Senate declared him king, and he served at their pleasure. So he had a tenuous balance, balancing Rome and balancing people, always looking for a revolt, always looking for a rebellion. Murdered 2 of his sons and 1 of his wives, his most favorite wife, because he suspected rebellion. Had him killed. So he was, of course, troubled when he heard it's a king. It's not his son. Who's this king? He probably thought it would be a Maccabee, because there was this power struggle still going on between the Maccabee family and the Herodian family. But what about all Jerusalem troubled with them? Well, listen, the Sadducees had sold out to Herod. The Sadducees were controlling the temple. They were the high priests and controlling the temple because Herod wasn't pure Jewish. Prior to that, the Maccabees were the leaders of the country and the high priests of the temple. The time that Herod comes, he's the leader. They have a separate high priest. And they're the Maccabees. So they have sold out to Herod. Then what else do we have? We have the Pharisees. The Pharisees, believe it or not, prior to Jesus, the Pharisees were persecuted by Herod and by the Sadducees. The Pharisees, seeing how corrupt the temple service was, tried to achieve righteousness by keeping the letter of the law. That's how we know them. They kept the letter of the law. Because the Sadducees were controlling the sacrifice in Jerusalem. So the Pharisees, they tried to be good and keep the law to the utmost. They were being persecuted at the time. In fact, Herod killed about 3,000 of them at the direction of the Sadducees. Then we have the Herodians. The Herodians are just the Jewish people that follow Herod. They had compromised. So when he says all Jerusalem, that's the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Herodians all had reason to be troubled. Because if Herod goes down, they all go down. If Herod goes down, they all go down. The Pharisees, they were compromising at the time as well because they were trying to get back into the temple. The only ones that weren't were the Essenes. They just considered the whole thing a mess, all of Jerusalem polluted, the temple service and temple worship polluted, and they moved out to Qumran in the wilderness to try to be pure before the Lord. But all of Jerusalem was troubled because somebody was going to come and upset the power struggle, upset the power center, upset the religious center, upset everything that they had in place, that they were tenuously holding in place while serving Rome at the same time. Their position, their wealth, their power was going to be overturned. When I say position, wealth, and power, all the people, the upper Pharisees and the upper Herodians and the upper Sadducees, they lived in palaces. Jerusalem, the upper city of Jerusalem, when you're in the temple is here, that's the highest point, and then there's a valley, and then there's the upper city. All the poor people lived in the valley, the upper city filled with palaces. I mean, beautiful, large, much, much bigger than any of our houses today. Well, the normal people lived in a one-room shack, one-room houses, much smaller than our houses today. And that was all going to be upset. Do you remember that's one of the things they said about Jesus? The Romans will come and take away our place. He's going to upset things. This is what the Pharisees said about Jesus. They're going to come take away our place. Our place meaning our position. Our position of authority, our position of power, our position of wealth. That was the most important thing to the people in Jerusalem at the time. Position, power, and wealth. And what's different today? Isn't that what most people are looking for? Position, power, and wealth? I mean, even Instagram influencers, YouTube influencers, they are doing what they're doing for position, power, and wealth. You might add fame to that. So this newborn king is going to topple it and upset it all. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Messiah should be born. Now, I find this pretty interesting because here he is, king of the Jews. He doesn't know where the Messiah is going to be born. Now, he, granted, Judaism was forced on him in the time of either his father or his grandfather, I don't remember which, was forced on him, but he was Jewish. He was a convert. His family was a convert to Judaism, but he was, you know, he couldn't make his own sacrifice. The priest would have to sacrifice for him, but he doesn't know the scripture. He doesn't know the word. So they come to this time, and the wise men say, we've seen his star. We know he's born. Where is he? He doesn't have a clue where Messiah is born. So he asks the chief priests, it says demands in the Bible. When a king asks, it's a demand. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Where do they get their information? The word of God. They go to the word of God. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. So now we have the wise men following a prophetic word, and now we have the confirming prophetic word found by the scribes and the Pharisees, or the leaders. Does it say Pharisees? I didn't notice. Scribes and people. Yeah, chief priests and scribes. The chief priests would have been Sadducees. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired diligently what time the star appeared. When exactly, what year, what month did you see this star? When did it show? He wants to locate, pinpoint the date of his birth because he knows these people have come from quite a distance. The child must be somewhere and must have been born some time ago. And he wants to know about how old this child would be. About how old. We often look at Herod and we know he was an atrocious ruler. He was a fantastic builder, but an atrocious ruler. We know that he was murderous. We know that he was bloodthirsty. He was paranoid, probably schizophrenic as well. But it was not uncommon for a king to murder any cousins that were born to his household, brothers that he had. Totally common in the time of Herod, in the time before Herod, in the time after Herod. It's just what they did. They could not have rivals. They would murder them. Their own family, murder them. So they would not have rivals other than their direct descendant, their son or sons. And then the sons, they would fight among themselves. I mean, this happened straight up through the Middle Ages as long as there were kings. I guess it's only now when kings are just sort of figureheads, that they don't murder each other anymore, because what's the point? They're just a figurehead. So, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquires of them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. I love this. They didn't follow the star to Bethlehem. Herod sent them to Bethlehem. He sent them to Bethlehem because he found out from the word of God. Now, in the past, I've shared with you a revelation about this. The star is supernatural, and I'll share it again today. The star is supernatural. They were following something supernatural and got lost. They went to the wrong city. They were about 4 miles away from Bethlehem. 4 miles. They'd come over 1,000 miles or around 1,000 miles, and yet within 4 miles, they're lost. Why? Because their intellect took over. A king born to Israel must be the capital. Let's go to the capital. We saw a star, but let's go to the capital. When our intellect takes over, we can go the wrong way. It may seem the right way, but it's the wrong way. When we're, and also, if we're totally just following the supernatural, we can go the wrong way. Do you know people who were on target at one point but got way off in the supernatural? I mean, got into weird and bizarre things. I'm not talking about healings and miracles and signs and wonders. I'm talking about weird and bizarre things that don't agree with the Word of God, because they're just following the supernatural. They heard the glory's falling over here, they ran over here. The glory's falling, they ran over there. The only way we can stay on the course is to follow the supernatural, but located in the Word of God. The Word of God, yes, the star, and I'll get to that, the star was going to shine on Bethlehem, but they didn't see the star shining on Bethlehem until after they heard God's Word. God's Word is a sure foundation. And the supernatural will always agree with the Word of God. So don't just follow the supernatural. If you get a word from the Lord, you get a revelation from God, check it out in the Word. Find God's basis, God's foundational word for whatever the Spirit of God is showing you. He will not show you anything outside of the Word of God, will not have you do anything outside of the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit always agree. And when the Word of God comes together with the Spirit of God, we have the will of God. Miraculously, the will of God. But it's always the Word of God together with the Spirit of God produces the will of God. So, Herod, amazingly, they go to Bethlehem, it says, because Herod sent them there. I find that such an anomaly. Anyway, you can meditate on that. And it says, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. He had a weird way of worshiping, didn't he, Herod? Had a weird way of worshiping. Killing is his way of worshiping. That's what he planned to do. He planned to kill. He planned to eradicate, eliminate this threat to his reign, this threat to his lineage, this threat to his hereditary passing down of his crown. And indeed, he did pass it down to Archelaus, one of his sons, and Antipas, his other son. They inherited the throne. Split up, wasn't just one. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, this is the last thing we'll say today, and then we'll pick it up again tonight. What happened? Apparently they lost track of the star. It's implied there that they lost track of it. They saw the star, but then they lost track of it somehow. Because it says, when they heard, they departed, and there's the star again. And that shows me that as we walk in the Spirit, as we walk by faith and walk in the Spirit, we've got to always make sure that we're guided by God's Word if we want to get to His destination. We can get to a destination, it can be blessed, it can be wonderful, but not His perfect destination, not His perfect will.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.